दास ठाकुर की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरियस असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 16 एंटाइटल्ड द लॉर्ड्स ऑपुलेंस, टेक्स्ट नंबर 38। मया ईश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणीना वीणा सर्वात्मना अपि सर्वेण न भावः वेद्यते क्वचित्। मयेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। महेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। महेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। महेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। महेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। लेडीज, महेश्वरेण जीवेन गुणेन गुणिना विना सर्वात्मनापि सर्वेण न भावो विद्यते क्वचित्। मया मी ईश्वरेण द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड जीवेन द लिविंग एंटिटी गुणेन द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर गुणीना द महत्तत्व विना विदाउट Sarvatmana, the soul of all that exists, Api, indeed, Sarvena, everything, Na, not, Bhavaha, existence, Vidyate, there is, Kwachit, whatsoever. Translation provided by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. As the Supreme Lord, I am the basis of the living entity, of the modes of nature, and of the Mahatattva. Thus I am everything, and nothing whatsoever can exist without me. Purport. Without the manifestation of the Mahatattva, or total material existence, and the Jiva, or the living entity, nothing can exist within the material world. Everything we experience is a combination of the living entity and matter, and its various subtle and gross categories. The Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead is the entire basis of the existence of both the living entity and matter. Nothing can possibly exist even for a moment without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. One should not foolishly conclude that the Lord is therefore material. As has been clearly explained in this canto of the Bhagavatam, both the living entity and the Supreme Lord are completely transcendental to material nature. The living entity, however, has a propensity to dream that he is material, whereas the Lord constantly remembers the transcendental position of both himself and the conditioned dreaming entity. As the Lord is transcendental, his abode is also far beyond the reach of the modes of nature. The actual purpose of life is to understand by mature conviction the transcendental Lord, his transcendental abode, our own transcendental position, and the process by which we may go back home, back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shaitam Krishna Chaitan Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Devrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 As the Supreme Lord, I am the basis of the living entity, of the modes of material nature and of Mahatattva. Thus I am everything and nothing whatsoever can exist without me. Krishna is making here an honest confession about his position. And there is no false ego in what Krishna is saying. Because Krishna is the absolute truth. And he has no false ego. Therefore, whenever Krishna says something, it is always backed up by the power of truth. So here Krishna is saying very clearly what he has already said in the Gita before to Arjuna. And this is the eternal reality. Aham sarvasva prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitah. Right? This is such a fundamental scientific truth of life which remains so evasive to the materialist and to the entire scientific community of the world. Who are trying to find out what is the truth and what is the source of all that exists. if you were to simply adopt, oftentimes it is the methodology itself which is wrong. When modern science tries to figure out the source of life, the source of consciousness, the source of all that exists, they use what we call as the ascending process, Aroha Pantha. And it is intrinsic to this methodology itself that you can never understand the source of life. Because in this process or methodology of understanding truth by analysis, by experimentation, by logical thinking, by observation and hypotheses, right? This is the methodology of the ascending process. And this heavily depends on your own mind and your own senses. And the mind is material, and senses are also completely material. How can anyone who's transcendental, Krishna is saying, I am transcendental, the last line of the purport is so beautiful, right? The purpose of life is to understand with mature conviction the transcendental Lord, the transcendental abode of the Lord, our own transcendental nature, and the process of going back to Godhead, which is also transcendental. So how can somebody who has material senses, a material mind, understand that which is transcendental? It is not possible. Right? There will never be a microscope which will ever look at the soul. However proud we are of our microscopes, they have not yet seen the atom. They have not seen the protons, neutrons, and electrons and mesons within it. And the soul is even smaller than the atom, and the smaller than the meson and pisons which are there. It is more intrinsically microscopic than even these so-called subatomic particles, right? So since you cannot even see them with the microscope, what to talk of looking at the soul? Huh? And if you can't look at the soul, what to talk of the supreme soul? This cannot. So therefore, it is such a blessing to practice a little bit of humility. Little bit. You don't have to be very, very humble. That takes a long time to really develop. But if you're just a little humble, to just accept that, yes, I cannot understand God and myself through science. Let's say not science, to the modern science. Right? I must accept a different methodology to understand God and myself. I have to go to a person who is Tattva Darshinaha. Right? That means one who has himself seen, learned, and experienced the truth. And then, well, sir, what is the source of his knowledge? His knowledge is another Tattva Darshi. And if we simply accept that through the parampara system, whatever comes down by the descending process is something which has never been challenged by anybody. Right? It always stands the acid test of time. But when Krishna says, it is so powerful when Krishna says that I spoke this knowledge first to the sun god. It just struck me when I read that verse just few days back. Imagine Krishna saying something like that. Imam Vivasvate Yogam. He spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan. And Prabhupada gives a calculation in the purport of something like millions and billions of years. And it really should hit all of us as sadhakas. My God, this is really powerful realization, and not just realization, but powerful revelation, that what God and Krishna is speaking to Vivasvan, the sun god, was spoken to Manu and then Ikshvaku and down the line, and that same exact unchangeable, unfathomable transcendental knowledge is reaching me right now after billions of years in an unadulterated, unchanged, untampered with fashion, but the power of a person who's in the parampara. And therefore, I can be completely confident. The word important here, word in the purport is mature conviction. That means it cannot be, cannot be wishy-washy. You don't say, well, maybe, you know, so there's no maybe here. It's likely, it's no likelihood here. It's possible, it's not possible, nothing. These words are not being used here. We never find a single line of Prabhupada or any established Acharya ever using this word which modern science uses again and again and again and again repeatedly in all scientific methodology, in all papers, in all research science conferences, everywhere you go. Even the most original science articles of any modern science, Nature, National Geographic, anything, modern science is Lancet, JAMA, anything you take, right? They always use, it appears to be, it may be, it is possible that this interacts with that, and then therefore that interacts with this, and then all this interact together, and therefore that leads to that. And therefore we conclude that maybe that is connected with that, and therefore this is the conclusion, this is the truth. And then this is the truth. Right? And they want us to believe that that is the truth. When they have used a million times the word, it appears, it may be, it looks like. And how fools we may have been before. And how fools the people of the world also to accept this as gospel truth. Coming from the words, from the pen of the holy scientists. Who are very selfish, bigoted, narrow-minded. Right? And if you were to just practice a little humility and said, oh, tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. A little bit of pranipat, such a beautiful quality, such a beautiful name. But that means, pranipat means being a little more humble, a little bit more, a little more submissive. Said, well, I think I cannot figure this out on my own, and I don't think the scientists are already saying anything tangible. Let me go to somebody who is a holy man. And Krishna is giving the process. The process. The process is you have to learn the truth from a pure devotee of Krishna. Somebody in parampara. That process has to be, we have to be convinced that this process is the perfect process. The person giving us, as Prabhupada himself is saying, humility, that I may not be perfect. Prabhupada was very humble about it. But what I am speaking is perfect. Because I am not saying anything of my own. I am simply repeating the words of my beloved spiritual master. And that is the singular only reason of Prabhupada's success in the entire process of paying response to this entire planet. There is absolutely no other secret. It's not physical power, not charisma, not oration, not Sanskrit knowledge, not erudition, nothing. The only singular power of Prabhupada, which we must recognize, honor and worship, right, as his followers, as his as his grand disciples, disciples, is to honor the fact that Prabhupada never ever meddled with the truth. He never tampered with the truth. He didn't make it something which is little more convenient to the New Yorkers, to the little more to the Kali Yugites, little more for the Germans and for the Europeans, a little more easy to understand. Well, he did not change anything. He just, as we say again and again, gave the absolute truth as it is. As it was, and as it will be. Right? In the past, in the present, and in the future, this truth that Krishna is the source of all that exists will never change. Right? There will never be any other truth beyond this. There will never be, oh yeah, when Krishna, no, it's not Krishna, it's somebody else who's the source of all life. It will never be like that. It will always be Krishna and Krishna alone. And here, if you were to accept this process of descending process, here not the parampara is speaking, of course parampara is speaking the purport, but here the source of all knowledge is speaking himself. This is Krishna. The source of all knowledge, himself saying in his own lotus mouth that there will never ever be anything in this world of which I am not the basis. Right? How blessed we should feel if we would have just put that faith in Krishna, that my dear Lord, whatever you speak is the truth, the final truth. Nothing beyond this. Yam ladva chaparam labam marid nadinam adhikam tataha. That there's nothing beyond this now. Right? When Arjuna heard from Krishna, he just was so overwhelmed by Krishna's revelations of what he was speaking. He was just so overwhelmed in the Gita. When Krishna is telling about so many aspects of the absolute truth, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, he just expressed himself. A realization which is very important that we also imbibe. I may not speak the same language of Arjun, but feel the same way as Arjun. We have to feel like Arjun. We are not Arjun. We will never be Arjun. There is no second Arjun in this world. He is one of his types. Unique personality, right? But we can all feel the mood of Arjuna when he says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, Purusam Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. When he says these words, these 10 beautiful adjectives, these 10 beautiful elaborations on Krishna, there are 10 words in this sloka. You are Param Brahma, it says here. Param Dhamma, your abode is Param Dhamma. There's nothing beyond this Dham, that Dham, Akshar Dham, this Dham, all this, whatever. He is a Param Dhamma. Goloka Vrindavan is Param Dhamma. There's nothing beyond Param Dhamma. You are Param Brahma, you are Param Dhamma, you are Pavitram. You can never be contaminated. I can be contaminated. I am contaminated. All of us are contaminated because we touch matter. Matter is not pure, matter is impure. Because it is tinged by the touch of Maya. Maya is not pure. Maya makes everything impure. She is a shadow of Krishna. How can she be pure? Right? Because she has given up Krishna. So then she is impure. And whatever she influences becomes also impure. Unless you connect that thing back to Krishna, it doesn't become pure. Whatever it is. Money, gold, land, food, whatever. Unless you connect back to Krishna, it does not become pure. So he is Pavitram. Krishna is Pavitra. He is never tinged. When he is living as a simple Gurukuli boy in the Sandipani Muni ashram, with Shikha, little simple Pitambar Dhoti, going to cut wood for his Guru Maharaj, in Narayan Gao, somewhere in Ujjain, right? At that time, Avantipur. Or is dancing with 16,000 queens or a million gopis. Whatever he is doing, he is always Pavitra. Is never touched by the modes. It says very clearly here. Krishna is never touched by the modes. The sun can never be touched by the cloud. Ever. Ever. Right? There is no example in the world, never be a geographical truth observation by any astronomer where you say, oh, the cloud is touching the sun. It may appear to cover the sun, but it can never actually cover the sun. And it covers the sun, why? Because from our perspective, we are closer to the cloud than to the sun. As we take a flight and go beyond the clouds, you see the sun without any obstruction. So when you rise above the modes created by the clouds, you see Krishna as he is. But till you are under the cloud of the three modes, because they cover you like the cloud covers the sun, then you don't see the sun. And you say Krishna is a lusty person, Krishna is a politician, Krishna is very chalu, and all sorts of things people say about Krishna. And all those things come as a result of you being covered, not Krishna being covered. That's the whole point. This is never covered. Right? You are completely covered. Right? And therefore you start making some projections of your own contaminated psychology on Krishna's character. Right? Because you are contaminated, you see things contaminated. Because you are wearing dark glasses, you see everything dark. If you see very yellow glasses, you see everything yellow. Right? So your lens of consciousness is contaminated. So what you see through that lens of consciousness also appears to be contaminated. And people cast, you know, people cast so many opinions. I mean, if you are a PhD in, you know, Jiva Goswami's teachings, and a PhD in, you know, Gita Govinda, whatever you are, Prabhupada said, never believe these people. Right? Prabhupada used to give them bad words, which we cannot speak. You never believe these people. Right? Because they have no access to real knowledge. Therefore, let us celebrate, let us rejoice, let us always feel happy that we are blessed to know the absolute truth. We have not realized the absolute truth as yet, but as we know the absolute truth. And that itself is a huge advantage in the sojourn of our life. Probably millions of lifetimes we have spent in this world without even knowing the absolute truth, completely covered. In animal species, we had no access to this knowledge whatsoever. And luckily, in human species, and somehow or the other, Brahmanda Brahmita Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, we have come in contact with people, personalities, sampradayas, knowledge, books, which are authorized, which are bona fide. Right? And therefore, we can make our intellectual convictions more mature as we become more and more convinced that yes, no matter what people say, let the whole world say anything about Krishna. The world will say anything about the Bhagavad Gita. The world say anything about this knowledge. But I'm going to become deaf to what they say. But my ears are only going to open to what my spiritual masters say, what the acharyas say, what the Gita says, what the purports of a pure devotee says. Anything else, I become completely deaf. Right? And don't allow myself to get contaminated and raise doubts and suspicion on this pure system of knowledge. In this few the verses which we've been reading last, I think 15-20 of them, Krishna is revealing what he is. I am the light of the sun. This is something which is said in the Gita also, as we know, right? among devotees, I am Uddhava. Among demon devotees, I am Prahlad. Various things he said like that. One very interesting aspect of Krishna is how he connects himself to the world. This is a big problem in theology. They always say, how does the transcendental connect to the evanescent? How do they connect to the material world? But Krishna is so kind as a father that he evermore wants to connect to his children, to all of us. How would a father want to do anything else than that? Right? His love. When somebody loves you, he will somehow reach you. Is it not true? If you truly love somebody, you will reach that person. Somehow or the other, you will reach that person. If you want to send a message, send a book, send some article. If you love him, you will somehow see, you give it to him, and then give it to him, and then you will see that it reaches. Because love has, you know, can transcend all barriers. That's the power of love. True love. Selfless love. Genuine love. It can transcend all barriers. Right? So what can obstruct Krishna's love? One who controls material energy. He connects to the world beautifully, powerfully. And this way Krishna is telling, teaching us, if you look at the sun, think of me. If you look at the moon, think of me. That's in one sense indirect way of connecting to Krishna. That's not really direct. Right? That's like seeing Krishna like this. But what is direct perception of Krishna? But this does not feature in this purports, in this verses. The two most special aspects which Krishna connects to this world and reveals himself powerfully are his Archa Vigraha and his holy name. In these two transcendental features, Krishna comes in this world. He comes in this world, right? Fully. The sun is not fully Krishna. It's symbolic of Krishna. The moon is not Krishna, but it's symbolic of Krishna's power of vision. That he sees the world at night through the moon and sees the light. He sees his own creation in the daytime through the sun. So it's symbolic, but it is not actually Krishna. We cannot make that mistake of saying that the moon is Krishna, the sun is Krishna. No, it is not. It symbolizes some aspect of Krishna. The majesty aspect is seen in the lion. The majestic walk of a lion. A lion is the king of the jungle. The way he walks. So in Sri Rangam, when Sri Ranganath Swami comes out, you know, of his sanctorum, he walks like an elephant. He walks like a lion. And he walks like a snake. Right? Different ways they make him walk. So these are all symbolic representations. But when you say the holy name, and you say Archa Vigraha, they are not manifestations. They are not symbolic manifestations. They are fully God Himself. In full power, in full glory, in full manifestation, in full potency, He's fully there. As Archa Vigraha, as the holy name. And those are the two most wonderful means of accessing Krishna for the sadhaka. We may be labeled sometimes as being idol worshippers. Idol worshippers. But the acharyas explain that all religions are idol worshippers. Not idol worshippers. They all worship forms. Even those so-called religions which apparently deny, decline, and even antagonize worshipping forms of the Absolute, they also worship physical forms. Now, what's the difference between an idol and a deity? It's very important for us to understand. Between a statue or a bust and a deity, they're not the same at all. Right? Idol or a statue of the Lord is considered idol in two circumstances. In two places, when that is there, it becomes an idol, not a deity. One is when it is concocted. One thing when it is not actually as per the scripture. The form, the details are not scriptural based, but they are concocted form. It's your own device of your own. And second is when you have a form of the Lord which is used by a person or persons for material gain, for their own selfish gain. When these two things are there, a concocted form or a form which is used for your material gain, then that form becomes an idol. It's no longer a deity. A deity is a deity. Why? Because there is a detailed, scientific, authorized, acharya-given, Krishna-endorsed process. We're talking about processes today. A process in which a pure devotee, who has realized Krishna, invokes the full power of Krishna to descend in that form of the Archa Vigraha. So as Prabhupada used to sometimes clarify, Krishna is not in the deity. Krishna is the deity. And I read that years ago. It was one of those things which Prabhupada, you know, hits you in the heart practically. It touches your heart. It doesn't touch the brain. Because it is a subtle point, but it actually shows Prabhupada's perfection of understanding that Krishna is not in the holy name. Krishna is the holy name. Krishna is not in that stone or wood of Jagannath, but he is Sakshat Jagannath in that form. Is that nothing like in? But for Krishna, there is nothing like in and out. Is that something like in and out of Krishna? No, there is nothing like in and out. Krishna is Krishna. Right? Everything is within him. Right? So when Krishna comes as Jagannath, he is Jagannath. He is Jagannath. He is not in that wood form. Other religions also, who apparently don't understand this scientific philosophy, you know, the Jews, they will worship the Torah. Our Sikh friends, they will not have a deity, but they will have the Granth Sahib, and they will worship the Granth Sahib. The Granth Sahib is a form, is a physical form of a book, which is sacred. But it is worshipped with flowers and incense and prayers. And our Christian friends will go to the church, and they will kiss the cross, kneel down before it, offer a candle, offer flowers. There is a physical form. So all religions worship physical forms. Our Muslim friends also. Right? They may not understand what they are doing when they antagonize bona fide, you know, processes of spirituality. But they all bow down towards the Mecca before when they do their namaz. Which is a physical form. A physical direction. It is not just nowhere. So they recognize a physical form. Either in the form of a book, or the temple, or a form of the cross. And we have our form of Gopinath. And of course, lately we have Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan ji has just descended from the spiritual world. By the process of powerful acharyas, devotees, invocations of the previous acharyas, the Lord has descended at Govardhan Eco Village for all of us to take His blessings and connect, get a connection, get our sambandha to his devotional service. And therefore, this is such a beautiful thing to understand for all of us as followers of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that even Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, he is Krishna himself. He's Krishna. He's not a manifestation of Krishna. He's Krishna. Right? But even his life was centered around, for the last 18 years of his life, around Jagannath. Around a form of the Lord. Right? Tukaram Maharaj's entire life was centered around Panduranga. Right? And Prabhupada was miles away at Jaladuta. You know, tossing and turning and squirming and vomiting and going through all that motion sickness. His heart was back again with the form of the Lord. Radha Damodar Mandir. He never forgot Radha Damodar Mandir. His heart was connected. So all our acharyas have taught us that even though there are indirect forms of Krishna which we can all see and remember in the material world, yet two special forms which we should always feel and get more and more intimately connected to, right, is the deity form of the Lord. And Prabhupada said, even if you have deities in your own home, they cannot replace in importance the deity of your spiritual master. So when in Vrindavan, there are so many Goswamis staying there, but the acharyas, it was recognized that there was Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So these deities of Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda Dev, and Radha Gopinath were overwhelmingly the primary deity worship of all the acharyas there, of all the Vrijvasis there. Even all of them had their own temples, all of them had their own Shalagram Shilas, all of them had their own deity forms in their own home, but they all recognized the supremacy and the special position of these three deities. Their lives were completely centered around the deity. right? So it is a very special thing for us also that we are here at Gopinath Mandir in all our ISKCON temples. And Krishna loves to see his devotees come together, just like the father would love to see all his children coming together. None of us here belong to each other's family. We are all from different families, different backgrounds, different nationalities, different color of skin. We are all complete diversity over here. And yet the unifying factor why we all of us are in one place here, because we recognize something very common here. What is that? We have a common father. Prabhupada said, you cannot have universal brotherhood unless you first recognize universal fatherhood. I cannot see you as a brother if I just don't recognize that you have a common father. You know, say, oh yeah, you are Pakistani, you know, this, you know, that, you know, you're Jew. We'll look at it very differently. But when you recognize there is a common father, and all these children from different nationalities come together to see him, to worship him, to love him, to sing for him, to dance for him, to serve him, to pray to him, to make festivals for him, to throw flowers on him, right? To decorate his temple, to make offerings to him. And Krishna sees his united front of all his children who are willing to give up their barriers created by the illusory energy based on skin and ethnic backgrounds and geography and this and that, right? But who are able to see the commonality of the soul and the commonality of the Supreme Soul, Krishna, and come together as one large family, what we call as Sankirtan. Coming together as a large family, singing. And that is such a hallmark of our society, hallmark of our movement, hallmark of our sampradaya, practically. That everyone comes together. And therefore, when Thakur Bhakti Vinod pronounced in the late 18th century, when he said, there'll be a day very soon when Americans, Russians, Germans will all come together to this small village called Mayapur and chant Jai Sachinandan Gaur Hari. Right? So yes, we want to, these two are the, Krishna is Vishaya Vigraha and Nama is also. Namashraya kori jatana tumi takhan apana kaje. Right? Thakur Bhakti is beseeching all of us to take shelter. Take shelter of the Lord in the form of a deity. And namashraya kori. Right? And therefore he glorifies that. Nam bina kichu nahi ko aro chaudh bhuvana maje. He glorifies that place. There is no better place to be in. Like I think it's this particular Sunday, of course we have Kirtan every day in this temple, in all temples, Kirtan is every day, but we're going to have some special singers coming on Sunday, for example. Right? That place is so special when devotees come together to sing. It's not about the orchestra or the music or the performance or the melody. These are incidental things which add to the flavor of the Kirtan. But they themselves are not the actual core of the Kirtan. The actual core is the calling. When devotees come to them, they call out to the Lord with beseeching hearts, with a prayerful heart, that please give me shelter. Shelter from what? What do you want shelter from? Shelter from the powerful illusory energy. And it says in this purport here today, there are only two things. The Mahatattva, which is the source of the material energy, and the Jivatma. And beyond these two things, there is nothing. The superior energy, Parashakti, the inferior energy, Aparashakti. I mean, Para and Apara, right. Beyond these two Shaktis, there is nothing. There's absolutely nothing. Right? Prabhupada says, knowledge is to know the source of both of them, para and apara, and that is Krishna. To know the source of both of them is Krishna. So let us rejoice, let us feel happy whatever problems we may be having in our life, whatever difficulties we may be created by our karma and destinies, we always have to go through ups and downs, face them all in our stride. But deep down within, as they say, in the ocean or the surface, there is always turbulence. But deep down, there is always calmness and peace and tranquility. So also life may go through some turmoil on the surface, sometimes here and there, that can happen. Rather, probably that most time will happen. But deep down, when our hearts rejoice in these realizations of what we've been given by Srila Prabhupada, right? Deep down, we know that we are in a secure place. In a perfect situation. I am perfectly situated at the feet of Radha and Krishna. I am perfectly situated at the feet of my spiritual master. And as long as I do not give up the shelter of my spiritual masters, the Nama and the association of Vaishnavas, no matter whatever happens on the surface of my life, that will come and it will pass away as clouds come and clouds go. As darkness comes and darkness goes, the light comes and the light goes. And that will happen. That is evanescent. That is transient. That is fleeting. But the eternality, the undercurrent of life, underneath that, is my connection with Krishna. My connection with the holy name. And that's where I feel the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, the greatest fulfillment of my life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.